Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to NBA Clutch Time with Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast, as your host, presented by the Playmakers Radio. And I'm gonna get straight to the point. I'm mentally tired of the NBA. I am mentally tired of basketball. I'm tired of players feeling like they're entitled to get whatever they want. I'm tired of them thinking that they can't get any type of punishment for doing things that players are not supposed to be doing. Like, I'm tired of players, like, doing things and then getting mad that there's backlash for it. Right? Like, I don't give a damn how big of a player you are. You're a fucking human being, too. Like, no, man. I'm tired of this bullshit, man. Like, okay. Draymond Green came out and was speaking about Andre Drummond and how the whole Cleveland Cavaliers situation went down with Andre Drummond going to, not dress for the rest of the games until he is traded. Right? Draymond Green sounds off on that. He talks about how when Anthony Davis requested his trade, how he, got the fine for it. All this other stuff, right? Now, let me tell you why Draymond Green is full of shit. Let me tell you why. Why everybody, if you wholeheartedly believe what Draymond Green is saying, on this topic, I feel like you are full of shit. Point blank, period. It is the organization's job to make moves. It is your job as a player to play the game. Your agent can handle all the extra stuff. Right? That is not your job. Now, granted, if you don't like where you are and you want to go somewhere else, you want to request a trade, that is fine. I'm not going to castrate any player for wanting out of a situation that clearly ain't good for them. No, that's fine. You go to the fucking team and you say that I want to trade. You don't go out to the public and start slandering the team saying we can't do this and we can't do that. Like, that's the thing that it seems like Draymond Green and Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal and all these other players, right, that's talking about this situation, it seems like that's what they don't get. These players are starting to come out and start slandering teams. Now, if the teams were to slander the players, what would happen? Right? What would happen? Let's be real. Let's be real for a second. If the teams were to come out and say, well, this player is a horrible shooter, or this player really ain't shit in the locker room, and on top of that doesn't have enough play to back up his attitude, this player will never be an all-time great, so we don't need to build around him. If these teams were to come out and start saying that, there would be an issue, wouldn't it? Oh, the players wouldn't take that lightly. Oh, but the players can come out and say whatever they want to about an organization and then get mad that they get fined about it or get mad that there's public backlash behind it. No, go to your team, say that you want to trade, and figure it out. But y'all go into the media, y'all go into social media and all this other stuff saying all this stuff about your teams. Right, what James Harden did was completely not professional. What the Cleveland Cavaliers and Andre Drummond are mutually doing is 100,000% professional. But it seems like players like Draymond Green, who don't make the league any goddamn better, always has a point of view about something that has nothing to do with them. Nigga, the Golden State Warriors has never said that they wanted to trade you. Why the hell are you concerned about it? What the hell are you doing when you didn't have Stephen Clay? Losing, not putting up any stats, not being able to get any rebounds, score any points, get any assists. What are you doing? Focus on you, my dude. That's what's wrong with the NBA right now. Real NBA fans who saw discipline when we grew up with real NBA players, not this little entitled bullshit, players like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and Ray Allen and Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan. When we grew up watching them, and let's not act like none of them ain't get traded, but when it happened the right way. Ray Allen didn't want to be a part of that whole OKC thing. He was like, look, all right, y'all going by the team? Cool, no more Seattle? All right, I want out. He didn't go to the media about it. An organization is going to do what they're going to do because they own your contract. You don't like it? Don't be in the NBA. Don't do it. But if you won't sit back and complain about every little fucking thing that happens, congratulations. Congratulations. You officially have rich nigga problems. Oh, Lord, would I love to have that. You officially have rich nigga problems. But I'll tell you what, if I was in Draymond Green's position, I bet you I'd be more loved than he was. If I was in Draymond's position, I bet you I'd be much more professional than he is. I know a couple other people that say the same exact thing. Oh, but if the organizations do that and this and this, well, they don't play for the organizations then, damn it. Go start your own fucking league. Go join the Big Three. Go play ball overseas with Jimmer fucking Fredette. Nobody's going to miss you. Nobody's going to miss Draymond fucking Green. I'm tired. I just got off of work. And I wanted to address this since day one. I really did. I really did. I'm tired of this whole power to the players bullshit. I'm tired of it. You want to know why the NFL is very disciplined and the NBA is extremely privileged? Like, we all know white privilege is a thing, right? If white privilege was a sport, it would be the NBA. Right? If getting your ass whooped because you didn't get inside before the streetlights came on was a sport, it would be the NFL. If we're going to be real about it. I have so much more respect for NFL players in this day and age than I do NBA players. And I don't even like football like that. I don't. As good as I was at it, I don't like football like that. Never really piqued my interest. I was just good at running. I was pretty good at catching. And I was strong. Right? But I never had a love for that sport. I have an extreme love for the NBA. But I do not have an extreme love for the NBA players. Because it seems like whenever an organization does something wrong, oh, the players want to jump to the fucking sky and say something. Okay, what about when the organizations do things right? What about when the Brooklyn Nets did everything they could to protect Kyrie Irving's name from the media? What the fuck did Draymond Green say about that? Not a goddamn thing. So suck my dick. And I'm not telling Draymond to suck my dick. Let's get that out of the way. But I don't like the motherfucker. I don't. And it's crazy because I really used to like Draymond Green. Back when he was backing up Jermaine O'Neal, you know, before the Warriors were a finals team, I was like, yo, this dude, he's going to have intensity. I remember I used to play with him on 2K14. When I used to use the Warriors. David Lee at times was kind of struggling with injuries. Jermaine O'Neal was kind of a shell of himself. And then he made that promise to the Warriors that he was going to play his absolute best after All-Star weekend. Draymond Green, every time he hit the court, he played like he had something to prove. The things that I say is not to say that Draymond Green's not a productive player. It's not to say that he's not a game-changing player. His intangibles are amazing. But let me ask you something. Without Steph Curry, who in the fuck is Draymond Green? We knew who Steph was. We knew who Steph was before Draymond Green was a starter. We knew the guy who could shoot over any and everybody. The guy that even Kobe had a hard time guarding at the three-point line. We know the guy who stays in his lane until something bad actually happens. Not take a situation that has absolutely nothing to do with him and then try and turn it into a bad situation mentally. The fact of the matter is Draymond Green has no relevance anymore. So now he's going to make any and every dumb play at the end of the game, statement at the end of the game, to find relevance again. He's being Bow Wow. Congratulations, Draymond Bow Wow Green. You wanted your relevance back? You finally got it. Congratulations. Because clearly your play ain't what it used to be. People like Draymond Green, personality-wise, make me absolutely sick. I've always enjoyed watching Draymond go toe-to-toe with big men because of his power. Right, in his responsibility. But I always hated hearing him talk because he thinks he has power and that he's stepping up for some sort of responsibility. He thinks the player that he is on the court, he is off the court. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. A lot of players want to step up and have each other's backs and all this other stuff, right? But don't realize that most of the time all they do is just make the NBA relevant for three teams a year. Come playoff time, who do we end up thinking that's going to end up going to the finals usually when the season starts? The team that LeBron James is on, the team that Kevin Durant is on, or the healthy team that Steph Curry is on? If him and Durant ain't on the same team. Hell, sometimes when they are or are not on the same team. Whenever we have to add in that fourth option, it is the team Kawhi Leonard is on. That is the NBA. And congratulations to all the players who enable people like Draymond Green. Y'all are the ones who made the league like that. Y'all did it. And I'm not putting all the blame on LeBron. It was all of you. The reason why most of y'all can't win is because y'all follow people like Draymond Green. And all he does is manipulate you into going into a losing situation. Congratulations, you fell for it. Congratulations. Draymond Green has no problem with what James Harden did. Draymond Green has no problem with what Bradley Beal was doing. Right. He has no problem with any of that. But you all know what? And I don't get this. Draymond Green also happened to leave out some things. Because there's a lot of players who come to terms with organizations about if they're going to stay or if they're going to go. But let me ask you something, Draymond. Why didn't y'all keep DeMarcus Cousins? Where was your stance on that? Where was your stance when the LA Lakers waived DeMarcus? Where's your stance right now on DeMarcus Cousins? Where is your stance when Russell Westbrook wanted out of OKC? Him and James Harden, they just couldn't gel well. OKC didn't say anything bad about Russell Westbrook, did they? Westbrook told them that he wanted out, respectfully. The Rockets respectfully agreed to those terms and said, you want to know why? Okay. Cool. We're going to try and get you to a situation where it ain't horrible. The Washington Wizards come calling. Seems like a good opportunity, right? Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Lord knows how that fucking worked out. Remember, Westbrook wanted out. They gave him out. Nobody was talking bad about Westbrook. Nobody was talking bad about the Houston Rockets. Westbrook didn't start making outlandish statements about the Houston Rockets and what they could and couldn't do. No, that was James Harden. You brought up James Harden. Bring up Russell Westbrook. You're only looking at it from one fucking side. But at the same time, when you got the IQ of somebody like Draymond Green, it's like, what the hell do you expect? Welvin. You know, I try to not talk bad about NBA players. If I talk about their game or their antics, that's one thing. I try my absolute hardest not to talk bad about the players. It's the one thing that, you know, the main man at the Playmakers Radio, Chris, he had always told me, listen, don't talk bad about the players. And for most of my, listen, for the 4 years that I've been here, I've done a hell of a job of not doing that. But Draymond is just a whole different story, man. Whole different story. You were sitting over there talking about all this stuff with Andre Drummond. Then what happens? Let's just look at the next couple games after that. Should we bring up that shot that you took? 8 seconds left on the clock. You got the ball in your hands. You tried to flop into a foul. Threw the ball from damn near 40 feet out, was it? Horrible. And what did you say? You try to make up for it. It was the smartest dumb play. No, stupid. It was the dumbest dumb play. Because you shouldn't have been the one putting the damn ball in the air in the first place. Idiot. You can't shoot. Kevin Hart beat you in a 3-point shootout. You can't shoot. Then you start antagonizing the refs against Charlotte, get yourself kicked out. Then Charlotte comes back literally at the end of the fourth quarter to take the win. Why? Because you can't shut your donkey-faced ass up. Why, Draymond? Your mouth is going to kill your career. And you're going to think that it's okay because I was fighting for something. Yeah, another motherfucker that's making more money than you are. Playing better than you are. Who came to terms with what's going on with his team, deciding to put him on the bench until they get him traded. You know what that means? They're saving his stats instead of playing him 20, 25 minutes a game where he's going to be producing less and less. Instead of playing him for a full game constantly and risking injury. They said, no, we're not going to deflate your stats. We don't want you to put no health at risk. You just sit out. Okay, we're on a pretty bad losing streak right now anyways. You just sit out, and we're going to try and get you out of here. But no. Draymond isn't okay with that. But Draymond is okay with trying to flop for three-point fouls, making dumb plays, and getting ejected out of games. Oh, let's not talk about kicking people in the nuts a couple years ago. Where was your statements on that, Draymond? When everybody hated you. You sit back trying to defend everybody else. But guess what? When you was around kicking people in the nuts, you thought somebody was going to defend you? Not at all. Because you did not deserve it. And you know that you did not deserve it. And you know the ramifications of what was going to happen if you kept on doing it. You do realize you are the reason why the Warriors lost in 2016, right? Y'all could have won that championship and got Kevin Durant the next year. You got to have the best of both worlds. Y'all could have been undefeated against LeBron. But no, you had to go and start, you know, trying to kick niggas in the nuts again. In the finals, everybody's watching you, dummy. See, I have respect for people like DeMarcus Cousins because DeMarcus Cousins wasn't out there trying to kick people in the nuts. As a matter of fact, DeMarcus Cousins was actually one of my favorite players of this generation. But anyways, DeMarcus Cousins left it all out there on the court. You leaving it all in there for the media. Because you just want to be relevant. Congratulations, Bow Wow. I'm proud of you. You got your relevance back. You haven't been this relevant since you started kicking people in the nuts in 2016, Draymond. I'm proud of you. You found a way to get back in the spotlight. Hallelujah. And on top of that, you got Shaq backing you up. Boy, listen. Can't feel no better than that, right? You got Diesel with you. Woo! You got the Diesel with you. God damn. So what's next? Huh? What are you going to talk about next? Why don't you start winning games? Why don't you start winning games, Draymond? Can we start with that? You lost to the Hornets. But you don't care about that loss, huh? You care about what's going on in Cleveland. That's what you worried about. Make me sick. Oh, you make me sick. Anyways, I'm going to get off of that, and I'm going to move and shift some towards getting these power rankings done for you guys. So, first up, we have the Utah Jazz at number one. They are 24-6. They're 11-4 in their conference. They have immense winning records, both home and road. So you can't say that that has anything to do with it. They're 9-1 of their last 10 games. Utah is just, they're dominating. Next up, the LA Clippers. They're 22-9, same exact record as the Lakers. But you know what? There's, you know, Lakers have been on a two-game losing streak. The Clippers just won their last game. And it's, you know, it's becoming a thing of, okay, there's kind of becoming a shift. And on top of that, Lakers have no Anthony Davis. Like I said, two-game losing streak. Clippers take the number two spot. Lakers do take the number three spot. Once again, 22-9. Same exact record as the Clippers. Philadelphia, number four spot. They're 20-10 right now. Of their last 10, they've been 6-4, but they're on a two-game winning streak. So, you know, they've been doing, they've been struggling on the road, but they're doing amazing at home. They're 13-2. That's tied for league best with the Utah Jazz. Same exact record. Number five, Chris Paul effect. Phoenix Suns, they're 19-10. And they've been holding a solid record home and road. They're 10-5 at home. They're 9-5 on the road. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're on a two-game win streak. You can't really ask for much more. Number six. Now, I'm going to say this. Number six on NBA.com is the Portland Trail Blazers. Me, personally, I'm going to give it to the Brooklyn Nets. Reason why is because, so Portland's 18-11, Brooklyn is 19-12, right? So Brooklyn has one more loss, one more win. But Brooklyn has been on a five-game win streak. Portland just lost their last game. Portland, we've all seen that, you know, they've been doing good. They've been doing real good, even though they've been missing CJ, you know, but... you know, I think for everything that Brooklyn has been doing, they've been winning without Kevin Durant. They've been winning with Kevin Durant. They have this thing now where it's just like they are becoming exactly what I said that they were going to be when they got James Harden. So number six, I'm putting Brooklyn. Number seven, I'm going to put Portland. So I'm switching them. Number eight, San Antonio Spurs. They're 16-11 right now, and goodness gracious, they've been doing pretty good. 7-3 of their last 10, coming on a two-game win streak, and the Milwaukee Bucks right behind them. They're 17-13. But Milwaukee been shaky. They're 5-5 of the last 10. Right under them, we have the Denver Nuggets. They're 16-13. Number 11, we got the Indiana Pacers at 15-14. Number 12, Golden State Warriors at 16-15. I am willing, I'm not sure if I want to make the swap of Golden State for Indiana, but Golden State has lost their last two in a row. They're 5-5 of the last 10. Granted, Pacers are 4-6 of their last 10, so it's not like there's much of a difference to be said there, but, you know, in terms of winning percentage, Indiana is at 51.7. Golden State is 51.6. So I have Indiana at 11 and Golden State at 12. Boston, middle of the pack, almost. They're top middle. You know, they're 15-15 right now. things, they got some figuring out to do. They got some figuring some stuff out to do. They're 4-6 of their last 10 right now. Toronto also 15-15. And Toronto has been looking like they're trying to get it together. I'm not fully sold on it, but they're 7-3 of their last 10, and they won 3 straight. So who am I to say anything? Memphis Grizzlies are right behind them at the 15th spot. So Memphis Grizzlies are the leader of them, or the exact middle of the pack. They're 13-13 right now, so they're 50% as well. Charlotte Hornets right underneath them at 14-15. They are 6-4 of their last 10. New York Knicks, they're holding on right now. They're 14-16. And I'm trying to figure out what to think of the Knicks, but I'm gonna let the season play out. I am proud of Julius Randle and, you know, how he's taking more of a leadership position on this Knicks team, and they have a fighting chance right now. Dallas 13-15, right underneath New York. Underneath Dallas, we actually got the Chicago Bulls at 13-16. Then the Miami Heat at number 20, they're 13-17. New Orleans Pelicans are 13-17 as well. The reason why I'm not getting too much into their last 10 games or their win streaks is because most of these teams have either gone 4-6 or 5-5 at their last 10. Nothing special. Win streak has either been they lost their last one or they won their last one. So nobody of these teams really have much of a streak going on. Number 22, the Atlanta Hawks. They're 12-17. 23 is the Sacramento Kings at 12-17. Number 24 is Orlando at 12-18. The Houston Rockets are number 25, and they're 11-17. OKC is 11-18 at number 26. Washington at 10-17 is number 27. Cleveland is 28, Detroit 29, and Minnesota 30. And, you know, I mean, Washington has been on a 4-game win streak. They're 6-4 of their last 10 games. So, I mean, there's some type of good news. But that's where it really ends, you know, for any of these teams from, like, you know, 16 down. Except Sacramento, they've lost 6 straight. I don't know what's going on with the Kings, but they got some stuff that they got to figure out. What I will say is that I am looking forward to seeing I honestly would like to see Brooklyn and Philly go at it in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would love to see the Clippers and the Lakers go at it in the Western Conference Finals, but I'm not going to sit back and pretend like Utah ain't dominating the Western Conference right now, and I'm not going to sit back and make it seem like Utah did not put on a show last year. Preferably Donovan Mitchell, especially, put on a show last year in the playoffs. And if we're going to be seeing that from Utah again, you know, barring dropping a 3-1 lead, but Donovan Mitchell was just, he was running out of steam, as we know, towards the tail end of that. But he also did make sure that he wasn't going to get beat by Jamal Murray. It was going to have to be Nikola Jokic that was going to have to put the nail in the coffin for them. Rudy Gobert didn't hold up his end of the bargain, and that is the reason why the Utah Jazz did not advance past the first round. Now, Gobert has been playing better on defense. He hasn't increased that much on offense, but I've seen a little bit more fire coming from him. But it's not enough to really convince me that he's going to be making, you know, much of a change. Now, if that change does come in the playoffs and he starts playing the way Shaquille O'Neal expects him to play, then I definitely think that something is going to be said. And I think a change is going to be made, and I think Utah is going to be making a much better run. But you can't solely rely on Donovan Mitchell. I still remember when Shaq, you know, said Mitchell doesn't have what it takes, and I think that was extremely unfair to Donovan Mitchell, especially after everything that he had showed last year, after everything that he's been showing from his rookie year. And clearly, you know, Utah just doesn't have the right pieces around him. They have some of the right pieces. Mike Conley is good for him. Jordan Clarkson is good for him. Joe Ingles, he got to go. But it's just due to consistency. We know Joe Ingles can be a very good, solid role player, but he's not consistent enough. Rudy Gobert, he plays like an all-star in spurts. You know, he's not somebody you can rely on him to give you solid mid-tier numbers, but he doesn't give you high-tier numbers, and that's going to be the problem for the Utah Jazz. But if a damn sure ain't Donovan Mitchell, and for Shaquille O'Neal to say what he said, you know, those weeks ago to Donovan Mitchell, that still stings me as a Donovan Mitchell fan. But it's because Shaq, being somebody who says or who talks about knowing what it takes to win, also should know that he lost to Hakeem Olajuwon in his first few years wearing an Orlando Magic jersey when Penny Hardaway was his running mate. So with that being said, did you make it to the finals? Yes, you did. But you also had greatness right next to you in Penny Hardaway. And, you know, when you look at Donovan Mitchell, he don't have greatness next to him. And you did, Shaq. Like, every year that you've ever won any title, you have had greatness next to you. Granted, did you bring your own form of greatness too? Yes, of course you did. Nobody can ever take that away from you. But end of the day, you had greatness next to you too. And Donovan Mitchell, so far in his career, has not had that. So I think you there's something that needs to be said about that. And I commend Donovan Mitchell for ignoring the statement the way how he did and just brushing it off right in front of right in the interview with Shaq, and that was exactly what Shaquille O'Neal deserved. But nonetheless, you know, Mitchell was somebody who if I had to pick somebody to lead my team, right, of everybody that came, you know, around that 2016-2017 season, I'm looking at, you know, Kyle Kuzma, and I'm looking at Ben Simmons, and I'm looking at Jason Tatum and all these other players, it's Donovan Mitchell, point blank period, because Donovan Mitchell has yet to let me down as a player. He has yet to show me, hey, here's a big game where I should be showing out and I'm not going to show out. Or, hey, here's a big game where I need to be consistent and I'm not being consistent. Or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a leader. He's never shown me that. And so with that being said, I have no reason to believe that it shouldn't be Donovan Mitchell. And that's from his rookie year. So, you know, that is what it is. But nonetheless, you know, big ups to the Utah Jazz for being a team that nobody thought that they were going to end up being. And granted, I know the season's only, give or take, not even halfway done. But with that being said, I'm still here to give the man the flowers that he deserves, because we are seeing Dwayne Wade 2.0 with a better shot. And like I said, you put the right pieces around a player like that, and you're gonna get some great results. I'm just waiting for Utah to do it. That's it. That's all I gotta say about that. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Philly versus Brooklyn. I hope I see that in the Eastern Conference Finals, in the Western Conference Finals. I definitely hope that I see what I was supposed to be able to see last year with the Clippers and the Lakers. And the way that the Clippers have been playing ball, I definitely think that's the way that it's going to go this year. So, with that being said, everybody, enjoy y'all's night. I'm sorry that I came off the way that I did tonight. And I have no problem with saying that I was in the heat of the moment. But you got to understand, man, with the passion that I have for this game, that, you know, my opportunity to play this game at a high level was taken away from me in my youth. It is something that I pay attention. You feel me? I pay attention to bullshit. I pay attention to greatness and everything in between. So with that being said, you know, like, I want everybody to have the best possible night that you can have. Stay safe and stay out of trouble. Much love to all of you. Good night.